listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 337 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and me good lad. Good pal, Sean Orford.
Good lad.
I'm not starting again. We're going to keep going. Got to fight through that. Are you all right, Sean?
I'm stunning.
Cool. I'll ask you how you are, but we just recorded another one, and I know how you are.
You're going to ask what I've been doing this week.
And I don't want to hear about it again, yeah. Go on, let's make something up. What you been up to?
I've been learning to ride a monocycle.
Monocycle? Unicycle?
Well, it's only got one wheel.
Okay. You say mono, I say
you. You say mono,
I have. Have you ever had a go on a unicycle?
No.
I have. In the summer. In some...
I've had to go on a penny farthing.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
I'll be up for that.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Getting off is the hard part, or getting started. Yeah. You need a bit of help, don't you?
Yeah, a lamppost.
Yeah, if you get one of them, man, that would freak out the suburbanites of Wirral, for sure. They give me
career. Do you think, you'd be bullied on that? <Yeah.
laughs> We're talking about war this week, which I guess in some ways, we talked about bullying last week. It's kind of a... extension, or it's bullying on a massive, like, industrial scale. But
it's really weird, the whole war thing, because you're committing a nation to something, and you usually as a government or whatever. Mm. But the thing is that it may not be that you are the bully; it may be that you are responding to being bullied.
Yeah.
So it's like people talk about the just war. And the justification for war has to be in the eye of the beholder.
It's a really complicated thing. We've just been researching this for 15, 20 minutes, making some notes, and, you know, this is the type of subject that people will dedicate their lives to researching and looking at the history of all the many, many wars since the dawn of time. Mm. Human beings have been going at it against each other for various reasons. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, where all the show notes and links are there. Sean will have written a blog post to go along with this too.
I will.
If reading's more you think, have a look at that. And do sign up for the mailing list in the box, and you'll get weekly alerts for the show and some free meditation files as well.
Yep.
Which, if you use correctly, may avoid horrendous things such
it
as...
It could, or, yeah.
You know, maybe right, if a few more people meditated, we'd have a bit less conflict in the world.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, we talked about bullying last week, and it's been Remembrance Sunday, you know, fairly recently too, Armistice Day. So I thought one about conflict and war was justified. You know, I'm sensitive to the fact that, you know, I'm a fella, and both of us, in fact, and most people of my generation and your generation as well, even. There's a few generations in between.
Get out of here.
Have not fought in a war.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I am so grateful.
Yeah.
That I haven't had to go to war. Mm-hmm. It's not over yet, though. But
yeah, you may well have some. Well, I mean,
you never know.
Maybe we're always on the brink of war, and you know, for the. But things are pretty edgy at the moment, globally.
This is something that I've had to look at quite a lot in different things that I've done. Is that if there was another Hitler that was taking over the world, would I be prepared to go to war and fight for it, to fight against it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes, I would.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to, and I wouldn't want to kill people, but I would do that.
Yep.
To save the world, mm-hmm. if that's what it was.
I'll have a go at it, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, coming on from bullying last week, when a whole country or a nation or even a whole region, collection of nations, feels bullied, mm-hmm. we go to war, don't we? Mm. Essentially.
Yeah, or maybe you've got something that I want. Mm. You know, I mean, one of the things about the British Empire is that, I don't know whether they would have considered it wars, but we went round the world taking over other people's countries and stealing their resources and even stealing their people. And then using them as slaves in the Americas because we were the Americans.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like our record in the world in terms of both bullying and war is not a good one.
Nope.
You know, we can say that, you know, aren't we good chaps because we fought against Hitler in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of covers up all the other nasty stuff that we've done ourselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know?
But through all that time, through all the battles and all through the work, inverted commas, that we the empire, our empire was doing, you know, it was all just from our perspective, wasn't it? Or from the people making the decisions, at least, the brigadiers and all the generals.
But the Brits...
The guys, I mean, with the funny moustaches.
Yeah, lovely moustache, lovely. I can remember reading this thing where the empire described Africa as the white man's burden. Because they had to go out and civilise these peasants.
Yeah,
know, these...
if someone's got to do it, we might as well do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what an awful, arrogant place to be.
Yeah, it's not cool, that, is it?
No, awful.
Not healthy.
Awful. And, I mean, in terms of bullying, you know, I mean, to take people into slavery, you can't get much more bullying than that.
Yeah.
And the whole idea about war, when people fought against the fact that we had occupied their countries, we would go and put the rebellion down.
Yeah.
You know?
Weird.
Yeah.
People are weird, aren't they?
Yeah. And, I mean, that thing, I'm forever saying it in organisations, if we just all look after each other, we're all going to be okay here. Mm. And that's such an obvious truth about the whole of humanity. But trying to get people to do it is so difficult.
Yeah.
So that we are confronted, and we have to confront this kind of stuff as it goes along, whether it's bullying in the short, or whether it's war in the big.
Mm.
You know.
Well, I can see a longer, not too distant path to war, like a serious, like mega war. And that's my main reason for kind of worrying about environmental stuff, really, because I'm not so concerned about, you know, sea levels rising 10 metres 100 years from now.
Yeah.
If you kind of draw a line between this point and that point, which is quite easy to do, that's just physics and maths, you've got to plot what other things might happen along that way. So, yeah, okay, sea levels rising is bad, but long before we reach that point, there'll be like this mad scrap and dash for the last remaining resources and the high ground as such.
Yep.
And there'll be a lot of people swarming to places where it's, you know, from areas which aren't habitable anymore.
Yep.
What are the impacts of that? Yeah, okay, so you've got a lot of people moving, cool. Where are they going to go? You know, are the people that are accepting these people up for it? You know, I would be personally, but a lot of people, as we're seeing, aren't going to be up for it. Basically, we're on a track to war, I see, you know, in the 20...
Do you see those,
15,
like, food wars, resource wars, water wars?
All the above.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's my concern about environmental stuff, not so much the obviously huge that damage we've done to the natural world. My kids are going to have to fight in a war, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I do, yeah, that's it, isn't it?
A serious one.
And the problem is that we are inheriting or passing it on, they're inheriting what it is that we leave them.
Yeah.
The one of the things I was, and the stuff I read, was that the thing that we're most likely to run out of soonest is gas. That the oil reserves are still around, and they talk about coal as an option, but gas is the one.
Oh, right, okay.
It's going to be the first one that goes.
Which is why some certain people are so keen to start fracking in the UK and extracting what we got here.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But the idea that we need to get solar power working, so that households can actually independently do their own cooking and maybe their own heating.
Heating is a big one in the UK, isn't it? I mean, yeah, we've got an electric hob and all that, but we've got a gas boiler.
Yeah.
I don't know what percentage of houses do have gas heating. Probably pretty high in the UK.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of how war is going to come, because it will, unless we're smart. The actual ethics of war and how we decide as nations to go to that point is a really fascinating thing, actually. Most people will agree that war is bad, but I guess you will also get a certain, I would say, high percentage of people that would say in certain circumstances war is necessary.
Hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, my
statement.
My primary thing, and I've always said it, is that I'm a pacifist. I really am a pacifist. I really, you know, I love people. I love everything. But if you hit me, I'll kill you. You know what I mean? It's like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Even if I hit you by mistake?
Yeah, I'm going to kill you by mistake.
Okay.
But the thing is that, from my point of view, so it sounds awful, this stuff, is that people kind of fanny about. It's like, if someone's going to do something wrong and you're going to do something about it, you need to do it. And it's like, we spend so much time not doing things, mm-hmm. positive or negative. You know, we spend our time in this kind of holding pattern. And the whole kind of Brexit thing is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But world wars, they hang and hang and hang and hang, and then suddenly they go, one person moves, and then the whole thing shifts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, tiny little events can trigger huge actions, can't they?
Yeah, and I think in terms of the politics, if you look at the way that things are either coming together or falling apart, and what happened before the last two wars and the Depression, was because people weren't working together as groups.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now leading the charge to break up Europe, which may, if we leave, it may roll on. And that puts us back in the position that we were in before the First World War, you know.
Which, led to, well, I know it's mad, isn't it, the whole Brexit thing, because the EU essentially came out of millions and millions of deaths. It's like, well, we all sit around a table and set some common rules.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, and the United Nations came from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But has the United Nations got any teeth anymore?
Mm-hmm.
When you've got people like Trump and Putin strutting their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a position.
We didn't mention them in the bullying episode last week, actually. So,
but they're right up there, aren't they?
Mm.
But in Turkey, I think it is. They've just taken on the Russian defense system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that. And they're supposed to be a part of NATO, which is supposed to be sided with the Americans, and they've just taken on all this weaponry and defensive capability from the Russians, which is supposed to have an espionage capacity to be able to view what's going on. So it's like all those things kind of wind up the pressure.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I know, it's mad. I mean, within the war, this is complicated. This is where it gets complicated. So there are certain rules within war, aren't there?
Well,
in terms of how to act and how before you even decide to go to war, it needs to be kind of legally signed off.
But it's weird, this, isn't
just
it?
War is the phrase I've come across.
But it's like when two armies are going to battle, both of them wake up in the morning and both of them go and say their prayers to God to give them the opportunity to win this battle today.
Might be different gods. Yeah.
Well, you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, from their point of view, it's just and it's right. It's a just war. And I don't know that war can ever be justified.
Mm.
I mean, defence, maybe. You know, aggression, no. Mm. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things.
Well, you did it when someone nicked your cap from school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mentioned last week when you whacked them around the head with your briefcase.
Yeah.
That was a little warning shot across the bow.
Yeah, but that was like an absolute action. It wasn't like, excuse me, can I have my cat back? It was like, don't mess with me.
Mm.
Yeah, and that meant I didn't have to go to war again when I was at school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So is that right? If as a country we do that, does it mean people leave us alone?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's one of these things where we're talking about this kind of the justness, and then you have to go through this kind of planned, is it okay for us to do this? But who's saying? It's only us that's saying.
So, what is a just war? There's a BBC... There's a few BBC links I'm going to stick in which talk about the morality and of war and pacifism. And these 6 points are asking, what is a just war? So it must be for a just cause. Doesn't explain beyond that.
But that assumes that we think it's a just cause, and the people that we're fighting, they may not agree with that.
The war must be lawfully declared by a lawful authority.
But that's our authority, not the authority of the people that we're going to fight.
Well, we had this in the UK in the 2000 and whatever, one or three, with the Iraq war, didn't we?
Yep.
And that was, you know, I was youngish then, and I didn't take part politically too much in the demonstrations, or at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of, it wasn't, you know, okay, let's do it, we're all on together. There was a lot of, plenty of people in the UK that thought that would end badly. And
it did. And people like Blair and Bush have never had to been held to account for what they did. You know?
The intention behind the war must be good. Again, that's very subjective, isn't it?
Can that ever be the case? Can it ever be good?
All other ways of resolving the problem should have been tried first.
Okay. I buy that one.
Yeah, fair dinks. That's good. There must be a reasonable chance of success.
I guess anybody who goes into war without that must be a bit of a twit.
To be fair, you're not going to go up against a huge, unless, well, kamikaze. That's a certain type of battle,
maybe.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And the means used must be in proportion to the end that the war seeks to achieve. A weird one.
But then, if you look at what happened in Hiroshima, the Japanese wouldn't stop, and they wouldn't stop, and they wouldn't stop, and they kept being given the option to stop, and they wouldn't stop, so they ended up dropping two bombs, didn't they? It was Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
And then
they stopped, yeah. So, I mean, it's like, is it that the proportion is to stop it, and is it what have you got to do to stop it?
Yeah, I mean, and the whole that atomic bomb thing, blimey, it's almost impossible to imagine, especially the stories within it, and like the person that was in that plane who had to push the button or pull the lever to release it. Wow, man, flipping heck, what a weight. But there is morality within war, or there should be at least. There's certain ways of treating people, such as civilians not being targeted, types of weaponry that can be used. We're reaching this technological age now where the next big war, assuming there is one, will be or could be fought, you know, from arm's length, from thousands of miles away with laptops and drones and all sorts. In fact, one of the talks at the TEDx event last week that I went to in Liverpool was around this lady who worked at Google. I got the notes still. So she worked at Google as a developer, and then she was kind of assigned to this arm of Google, which was working with the military.
All right.
Where is she? Yeah, Laura Nolan. Here we go. And she's got a website, stopkillerrobots.something.com. She's basically trying to. She left Google, and she's now warning people and writing about how we need to be wary of the killer robots that we're going to be unleashing on the world. And when you combine that with artificial intelligence, making these decisions on really complicated issues. On who to target and why they're targeting. You know, we can't even design self-driving cars yet that can make their way down a street without knocking into a lamppost. Are we really going to unleash these weapons of like mass destruction that are off doing their own thing? Scary stuff, man.
It is. And the issue then of if you've got computer driven stuff, who can hack it?
Yeah. Well, who's written the rules, you know?
And
who can hack it and who can subvert those systems. So, I mean, the Iraq war and in Afghanistan, that, you know, I'm sure the people listening and know people who fought in those wars or still engaged in some way. You know, they're not kind of wars that drew us all in, but still.
I had to deal with guys coming back from Desert Storm and stuff like that. There were a lot of TA guys that were a part of the NHS.
Yeah.
Came back and they had that kind of desert war fever, you know, that where they were assuming that they were given the wrong cocktail of immuno stuff, and they were, you know, had real kind of bowel problems, bladder problems, all kinds of stuff, and as well as emotional and psychological.
Yeah, the PTSD stuff.
Yeah. And
I also worry a little bit that because. A lot of people of our age haven't been to war and experienced it, that it's been kind of romanticised a little bit in media, and so you've got books obviously, and then TV, film, and even games. You know, when I was in my gaming heyday, Call of Duty is one of the most popular games worldwide, and it's a battle game where it's a first person game, so you just see the gun and you're the soldier. And you're either playing online against other people around the world trying to capture the flag, or hats off, like, it's a really good game. But at the same time, it kind of dulls the reality of what it, I mean, it does an amazing job of replicating war digitally.
But the thing is that,
you know, you get shot, you start again.
But when you're in the reality of bodies and hacking bodies, they smell. And they taste.
Well, they're the things that
I can remember when I the Indian stuff, there was Vanika, and she was telling me about when she was a little child, there was a riot that went on between, it was a Hindu Muslim riot, and these guys ran down the road with those curved knives and they cut people's bellies open as they went down the road. And she said that she watched this man where someone sliced his belly open and all his intestines fell out, and he was trying to put them back in while he was dying. And she, as a little kid, she watched him die. And that kind of stuff, which is the actual horror of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, on a video screen and a movie, you don't see any of that. You don't smell the shit.
I know.
And the piss and all that kind of stuff, which is the reality of it.
Yeah. And yeah. I guess it's hard to be... We have Remembrance Day, which does a really good job of focusing minds on what people have been through to, so that we can enjoy this relaxing existence where me and you are sitting here now.
Yeah.
Good old chit-chat about it, and there's life goes on around us.
Yeah.
But I went on the school trip with my lad, Will, a couple of weeks ago, around Port Sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped at one point, and the lady that was doing the tour of Port Sunlight, quite a famous village, if you haven't looked it up, it's a cool, cool place. But she asked us to look at these two houses, or it was like a set of terraced houses. And she asked the kids what was different about them, and one of them figured out that the bricks were different on the middle two.
Mm.
And then two on the outside, big bricks on the outside, little ones inside. And it was because, 70, 80 years ago, those two houses in the middle had a direct hit from a bomb in World War II.
Yeah.
And they had to be rebuilt with smaller bricks because the big bricks weren't available anymore.
Yeah.
And she actually asked whether the people... She wondered if the people that live in that house now know that story and know that the houses they live in were obliterated, you know, not that long ago in the time frame. And, you know, maybe my house had it. I wonder how close to my house and your house the nearest bomb fell.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a kid in London, there were still bomb sites. There were still whole bits that were missing.
Well, my house was built after the war, to be fair. But it's all part of the post-war.
Yeah, but I remember being dragged down the road by my mother, and there would be gentlemen of the road, tramps, I guess, that were people that were probably displaced emotionally and psychologically from the war, and they would be sat around some kind of coal brazier on these bomb sites where they were living, and everyone said that they drank meth, so they were meth drinkers. I don't know whether they ever did, but it was, you know, the devastation in London went on for years.
I know. So I'm looking for a short answer for, is it okay to go to war? And I guess the short answer is yeah, but avoid at all costs.
The other thing I think is that if you throw a load of rats in a barrel, they start fighting each other because there's too many to fill the space. They start eating each other, they start doing all kinds of things. Yeah. And if you look at our cities where it's like rats in a barrel, you know, there's too many of us. And if it does start to be that there's more and more people coming into countries, there's going to potentially be more conflict. Because there's not enough space for people emotionally and psychologically.
All right. Blimey. No real conclusion to this one, but just, I guess remembrance is an important part of...
Yeah. My take is I would avoid war at all costs, but if we came to the point of having to do it, then I would be absolute about having to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you've been through all those, is it a just war?
And in the end, the only person that can answer that is inside you, isn't it? I mean, there were lots of people in the last world that were pacifists and wouldn't fight.
For sure. No, my father-in-law's dad was a conscientious objector, so he did play a role in World War II, but he refused to battle and kill anyone or try to kill anyone, so he had a role as a medic, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? But stories are amazing you get out of these things.
But pacifism is a good thing, and I think in many ways it's a good positive thing. But I can remember when I was doing my travels, and if you talk to the Tibetans, and when the Chinese came in and took Tibet over, and the Tibetans were quite a passive people, you know, good kind of Buddhist bunch of people, and they just got completely trashed by the Chinese in a very unkind way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there are different types of pacifism that I've found. So there's absolute, there's like, that's it, I'm a pacifist, and then there's conditional and selective pacifism as well. So that's where, you know, if there comes a certain point or something will happen, you'll be like, hang on a minute, and then you'll take up arms or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You got a resource for us, Sean?
Yeah, mine is The Art of War by Sun Tzu, which is a very famous book that lots of people have used in the art of war and how they've done it. And it is a fascinating read.
Yeah, not just for war, but for all sorts of...
Yeah, for life.
For life, isn't it?
Yeah.
About knowing your enemy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to link to the British Legion page, which talks about remembrance and what have you and what you can do to help in the meantime.
Yeah.
You can remember every day, can't we? It doesn't have to be just one day a year.
No.
Cool, all right.
Every day.
I think we'll be doing some Skype ones of these soon, because you're going to...
Yeah, I should be in the Middle East, all being well.
Yeah, so yeah,
okay.
Have fun, good flight and all that.
Keep smiling.
Toodaloo.
See ya.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.